I can smell your feet.
Now with my cable, I'm able to get...
Today I'm Merc, and the topic is going to be more about the Intel processors, specifically the Intel Pentium 4 and the Intel Xeon processors. But this stuff will apply to your other processors, like your Pentium 3s and 2s and 1s, and not so much the 1s, but and maybe your i486s. So, let's get into the topic. So, you know you have your basic registers, EAX, EBX, ECX, EDX, ESI, EDI, ESP, and EBP. Now, those are your general purpose registers, and those are the ones that you will always have access to that's what you'll mostly be using. And then you have your segment selectors, like CS, DS, ES, and GS, and those are a bit more transparent. You also have other segment selectors that are like system wide, such as your GTDR and your LTDR, yeah, and your TSS, also SS in those that ES, GS, CS, DS, and SS. Then you have your TSS register, which is your task save segment, which has all your registers saved there. And so that's your basic registers. Oh, and you have EIP, but that is completely transparent. Not even your kernel or your operating system gets to do much with that. It's really only in the processor. So, then, there are probably some registers that you did not know about. In beginning in the Intel Pentium 2, I believe, they started adding in a special, some more registers called the MMX registers, or you might know it as the X87 FPU, which stands for Floating Point Unit. And they are the MMX registers are aliased onto the X87 FPU, so it's not actually, you don't actually have the FPU and the MMX registers. They're really the same, but that doesn't mean that they're not useful. They're both useful, and you can there are different ways to transition between them pretty smoothly, so you can be more efficient in your coding if you're an assembly coder. I don't know. So, your X87 FPU is your floating point unit, and if you've ever been compiling a kernel and looking at, the make menu config or something, and it says math emulation, math emulation is usually going to be for processors that do not have a floating point unit, so the kernel will actually emulate a floating point unit and use it itself, because it's a lot slower because it has to use the regular registers for floating point operations, and floating point operations are they're completely different thing than integer operations. If like AMD processors. They're good on floating point unit, but not integer operation. They're good on floating point operations, but not integer operations. Well, they're just like time different leaves, so they're just two completely different things. And floating point operations usually take more processing power. That's why they made a separate floating point unit. So the floating point unit uses the IEEE standard for floating point stuff. It uses their floating point system, and it's pretty complicated, so I won't get into that. You can look that up. It's really not that hard to find. Just Google it, Wikipedia, Blingo, if you really want to try to win something. So you've got your x87 FPU, which you've got your x87 FPU is the MMX registers are 8 64 bit, but your floating point registers aren't, because it they do it differently. And the MMX registers are MM0 through MM7, so you have 8 of them. But the floating point unit does not do that. The floating point unit uses addressing kind of like a stack. So whenever you load something into one of those registers, then it'll decrement the pointer to the top of the stack. So, and then you can further use addressing from it's all uppercase, it's in its top, which stands for top of P. Can't remember what P stands for. You'll have to forgive me. So you have you do different memory addressing from that, and so and also floating point operations take up more space than just regular integers, of course, so you can't really compare it that well. So then you have your MMX registers, which are aliased to the x87 FPU, the floating point unit, which, like I said before, it just means that it's the same thing. And the x87 FPU uses certain if you know like about the E-flags register, it's kind of like that, but for your floating point unit. So you have that, and so whenever you can nullify that by switching. That's what you usually do. You'll switch it, or first you'll save the data that's in there onto the stack, so you can pop it back into there later, so you can use your FPU again like you were before. So you save that onto the stack, and then you there's an instruction. I can't remember it right now, but it'll clear all the status registers. So it'll clear all the status registers, so you can just use the MMX registers. And the MMX registers were specifically made for SIMD instructions, which stands for single instruction multi-data, and they make up SSE, SSE 2 and SSE 3, and that stands for streaming SIMD extensions. And so you have SSE and then SSE 2 and SSE 3. SSE 2 was introduced in the Pentium 3. SSE was introduced in the Pentium 2, when they first had the MMX registers. And then your SSE 3s are only going to be in processors that support hyper-threading. So, which would be your Pentium 4 and your Xeon processors. Let me touch on a moment for how Intel actually does their Xeon processor, because it's actually on the IA32 architecture, which, if you could take from it, it's IA32, which means 32-bit. But if you knew, then if you knew about the Xeon processor, you would know that it's 64-bit. So what they actually do is, I think they're kind of cheating with this, but they call it the IA32E mode, which is extended, so you get 64-bit registers. So they didn't want to make a completely new architecture because, I mean, IA32 is working pretty well, as far as I know. I mean, I'm using it. It's working well. So they didn't want to change that, so they just used IA32E. So, yeah. And so you got, in the Pentium 4 and Xeon processors, they introduced, you had your MMX registers, which were also the x87 FPU. But to increase more efficiency even more, they came up with the XMM registers, which is MMX backwards. Hey, hey. They're very creative with that. So, you had your XMM registers, which are 128-bit registers. So you double your MMX register, and it's not aliased to the x87 FPU. So you can have your x87 FPU, and you can work with your XMM registers without messing stuff up and use it at the same time, which was much easier. So that was a big plus. So so your SSE extension, your SSE streaming SIMD SIMD extensions, they're just stuff that can work on. You can just load up your XMM registers or MMX registers and like just do one instruction and it'll change something about all of them. And pretty neat. So now let's talk about the debugging registers. So in so they started to have these debugging registers, which is kind of neat because you can put I do not know that how GDB does this, but I do believe that GDB might actually use this in the processor. They have a couple excuse me. They have a couple registers. They're D0 through D7, and those are your debug registers. So your debug registers, some of them you can fill them up B0. You have B0 through B3. And then you have, which are, breakpoint, condition flags. Well, that's in your DR6. I messed up again. So you have your, DR0 through DR7. So you have another 8 registers there, but they're not general purpose. You can't just load them up with anything unless you absolutely know what you're doing. So you have DR0 through DR3, you can put a breakpoint in there. So you just give it the address and you put a and it'll stop right there and it'll transfer back to the debugging program, such as GDB. So so you can also put a breakpoint on data access of some kind of data, access of some memory, access of a register, etc. It does not have to be an actual instruction, but you do get 3 registers for debugging that. 3 registers for breakpoint, and then you have you have 4. Ooh, yeah, 4. That's DR0, DR1, and DR2, and DR3. And then, all the others are just, they're just control registers. Except for, DR4 and DR5. And those are reserved until, until you have DE flag and your CR4 registers. If you didn't know about those, you've got like CR0 through CR5, and so those are your system registers, and you've got five of those, and they do all kinds of stuff, really neat stuff. You also have like system stuff like that in E-flags too, but so then you have control registers for the debugging, and I'm not going to go into that because that's probably going to bore you if you're not bored enough already, because I've been talking to you for a while. What, it's been like 16 minutes now. So there's also if you need to buy like special stuff from Intel, but there are model specific registers, MSRs, that you can get from Intel that they can do all kinds of neat stuff with, like telling what the last branch was of the instruction, and you could like, cause the Intel processors, they do like heuristics. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but they prefetch your code, which is really cool, cause they will look at your code ahead of time, so they don't have to grab it right from virtual memory, right when they're gonna execute the instruction, which is really cool because then it's much faster, increases efficiency, and that's what computing is for, efficiency. Well, unless you're using a Windows operating system, and then you're really not computing much. You're not doing much good if you're using a Microsoft operating system. So use Linux, BSD, Unix. Maybe not the Apple. I really don't want to go off on this because people are gonna get pissed off at me. I just really don't like Apple. Just gonna say that right now. Or Microsoft. Linux is good. BSD is good. Solaris is kind of crap, but I don't know. But back to the topic. So your Intel processors can do. They can prefetch your code. So you can also get model-specific registers that that will stick what they prefetched into the registers and do all kinds of cool stuff with that. But I haven't played around with that because I don't have a model-specific register. So if you want to buy one, you can always send it to me and I will play around with it and I will give you information on it if you really want that. Now, caching. Yeah, that's a big thing. Caching can make a lot of difference, and that's C-A-C-H-E, not C-A-S-H. So your caching is when, instead of having your data on virtual memory, if you've ever seen, there's like, you can have a pyramid of memory. You have your registers at the lower it goes on the pyramid, the lower in price and the lower in speed is. So at the top you have your registers, and those are the fastest. They also cost the most. That's why you have only a couple general purpose ones in your average register. Then you have your cache, your L2 and your L2 and L3 caches. Those are next, because those are also pretty, they're better than virtual memory. And after your cache comes virtual memory, and then you've got hard drive space, and then I've seen people put like network storage, like using NFS or uploading or downloading from a server. That's not quite as fast, but I mean, the connections are damn fast, like fiber optic. Ooh. So you have your caching, and you have internal caches, you have TLBs and buffers. Now, a TLB is a table lookaside buffer. I think that's what it stands for. And that's used for it's used for segments usually. And then you have internal caches and you have buffers. It's really not that hard to decipher. And you have a bunch of caches. Let me read these off and just pretend it doesn't sound like I'm reading them off from paper. You have your trace cache. You have your L1 instruction cache. Your L1 data cache, your L2 unified cache, your L3 unified cache, your instruction TLB, your data TLB, your instruction TLB, your instruction TLB 4 kilobyte pages, your data TLB 4 kilobyte pages, your instruction TLB large pages, your data TLB large pages, your store buffer, and your write combining buffer. Now, your trace cache, that is only in your P4s and your Xeon processors. Don't get those in your others. I should have done this at the beginning, but this is going to be a special for all of you that have listened this long. I'm going to tell you about some specifications of the different processors. You have the P4 started the Intel NetBurst architecture, and so you have that, and that's in Xeons and Intel's actually Intel made a processor that no one knows about but me because I'm special. It's called the Intel Pentium Processor Extreme Edition. Came out in 2005 and no one's seen it yet because it came out in 2005. It takes a while for these processors to people hear about them. So your Xeons, your Pentium 4s, and your Intel Pentium Processor Extreme Editions are those have the NetBurst architecture. The NetBurst architecture is pretty damn cool because you've got your XMM registers, you've got your new trace cache, and there's also some other neat features that we might get into later. And then you've got your P6 family, which is Pentium 3 and 2 and no. I don't know. I don't know the difference between the Pentium. I can't remember the difference between the Pentium and the P6 family, so please forgive me. So you have those. Enough of caching. Caching is neat. It's like I said before, you just put data that's been rapidly used into those caches, so it enhances how fast it takes to grab that processor, to grab that. Now let's get into system management mode, which is your the Pentium 4's, your NetBurst architecture has thermal sensors inside. So the thermal sensors at a certain temperature, I don't know what that temperature is, it'll automatically shut down the processor. And you can also program it so that it'll automatically shut off at a certain point. So there's also SMM, system management mode. Use an interrupt to get into there, and it's like your power saving mode, kind of like if you leave a screensaver too long on, or I know that you just leave it alone for 10-15 minutes and it'll just kind of shut off and the light on your monitor's still blinking, but it's the monitor's not on. So that's your system management mode. And the only way to get out is with a special instruction. I think it's R something something. Can't remember it, but you can only use it you write a handler for the system management mode. When you go into the system management mode, it'll look at the SMRAM, which the handler's on, and so it automatically goes to the SMRAM. And so the SMRAM can use, I think it's like RSB or something. That might be the instruction. I don't know. So that would be to get you out of there, out of SMM mode. SMM mode is it's limited because you only have the handler. That's all you get. I can't remember if you can actually access some of the virtual memory. I do not know, but possible. So let's touch briefly on the APIC, Advanced Programmable Interrupt Controller. You have your programmable interrupt controller, which you load up the handlers for all the interrupts. If you're a Linux programmer, assembly programmer, you'll know that you use interrupts a lot. I really don't know if the BSD kernel uses interrupts or not. I do not know about Solaris. I know that NT does not. The NT kernel does not. I'm almost sure that some other Unix variants do, but I know that Linux does. I'm a Linux assembly programmer. I did not program for BSD or anything else. I'm Linux. So, your APIC is an advanced version of that. You can send interrupts to, in a multiprocessor environment, you can send interrupts to other processors to help out with stuff, because it's two processors means you have to send interrupts back and forth to each other, telling each other kind of about what's happening. The APIC also has a timer, so you have the APIC timer. There's all kinds of stuff about the APIC, but I'm not going to go into it. You can do that yourself. There's really not much else. So I hope you enjoyed this. This was Twat Radio, or Today with a Techie, Twat Tech. I am Merc. Shouts go out to Intel for giving me free books. You can actually order these books for free. You can also get them online, but I think they give them to you free because nobody buys them. Shouts go to, I don't know how to pronounce his name, or his handle, I think it's, Tioski, T-I-O-C-S-T-I, he told me that you could order them, and sometimes they're free, and sometimes they're not. Shouts go to Droops for setting, this up, so that I could, sit here talking for you all. And that's about it. This has been Merc. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you found this very enlightening. Go learn more about Intel processor. And shouts go out to everyone at the Binary Revolution forums and anyone who recognized that that hacking is about learning and not about, it's not a day job, and it's not a bunch of semi-organized actions in a pretty thick book. So, yeah. I will see you next time. This has been Twat Radio for I think I've said that 3 times now. So, for the 4th time, this has been Twat Radio. Yeah. The closing music, it's by Zerl. You can find his stuff at Zerl.com. The song is called Rhetoric. It's hosted by Stank Dog. So, yeah.
fall of Rome, building speed like a rolling stone. Soon the blind will see it's nothing like the past. World stock markets crash, gold is worthless, the dollar's for wiping ass. Wars to no avail, the bourgeois' face go pale, pension plans go bad, brokers are killing themselves, investors gone mad. China and Japan cash in their cash, it's all bad. Russia's going back red, gives Cuba $10 billion right before Fidel is dead. One by one, looks like South America's going red. The U.S. can't stop it, see, we fed them corruption, not democracy. We gave them gold and need, not freedom and peace. It's time to destroy class, no more divisions among the mass. System will come crashing down, making smiles out of the last frown. We're bringing freedom to every last town. We blast clowns, this capitalism we chant down. On our civil liberties they clamp down. No more bombing of my brothers and sisters, white, red, yellow, black or brown. Damn, I'm pissed, I'm a Marxist in a velvet fist. I was born with this gist, telling the truth is always a risk. Close your eyes, hits like a punch or a kiss.